If you wonder why I got the hat on, because somebody gave it to me and I had to press to obey. And today, as I searched the heart of the Lord for what he wanted me to speak tonight, I want you to know that I got zero. Zero. So we're going to pray. Because he gave me a lot of things. I had a specific instruction to listen and watch a video from Kelly Berner. And part of the message in there was pretty intense. It's the first time that I was able to at least get through, I would say maybe 60% of it, without going off into wherever I end up going. I leave. I know I leave. The next thing, I'm trying so hard to hold on to, you know, say, Lord, I want to hear what this word says. And the next thing, you know, I'm gone. And the tape, of course, is, or the CD is running. And there's no excuse for it except I know I go on a trip. But I want you to know that this man impacted my life back in '89 because the Holy Spirit. When we went to, in 88, we went to Oregon for the Feast of Tabernacles. And the following year, it was in Marshall, Texas. And the whole city was aware that there was a celebration because it was held at the city auditorium, if you wish. Good-sized city. And the marquee, of course, said, we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, 1989, and welcomed all the different saints that were there from different parts of the country. That was an exciting and a totally out-of-the-box experience because the year before, we were in a campground with individual little houses that had been built for the feast, and we were living in these little houses and family gatherings every day and a chapel that was on the property. It was a Christian campground. And it was quite a difference. But now, here the city. And there was a full orchestra in the orchestra pit. And Kelly Barney was there. I had never seen him, never known him. But Royal was the main speaker. And when he walked out to begin the opening of the feast, I don't think he was out more than 3 minutes to say a few words. And Kelly and him had had a run-in with each other. And they had had quite a spill, I guess. And Kelly came out of the dugout, or the orchestra pit, and went up to him and apologized publicly for having been stubborn. And I don't remember all the rest of the details. All I know is the end result was that there was weeping going on in this auditorium. And you have to remember that the more God gives to someone, and the more that they receive, there's also equal amount of accountability. Amen. And if the offense is made in public, the repairs have to be done in public. Mm-hmm. And that was brought out. And as I'm listening to this gentleman today, I did make a few notes of the CD because, again, not the CD, DVD. There were quite a few things that he pointed out in that message that I believe applies to today. Now, he went home to be with the Lord in his early 60s, and I'm not recommending that. All I know is that he sat in his office, and when he went into his office, he told his wife not to be disturbing him. And his children, obviously, had the same message. When I'm working, usually writing a book or putting out some information that needed to be put out on some kind of information situation, I don't know. Anyway, he was sitting in his chair, and several hours later they checked, and sure enough, he was gone. So I don't recommend that for somebody that has to survive it, but for the one who takes off and leaves, it's kind of neat, you know. You don't have to worry about the pain of and the drudgery of death. It's just, you know, the Lord took him. And in similitude, when you see the Holy Spirit, even though this thing has been taped several years ago, I don't remember the dates, it is so much information for the body of Christ for today. And he said there was a message. See, the message between Royal and Kelly is the same. It's about the Son and maturing in the Spirit. It's about you and I becoming sons of the Most High God. Male or female is irrelevant. It's about going higher than we've ever gone before in maturity and in obedience. And the goal is to become like the firstborn son. Well, most of the church right now, if they were told that message, would scream. I will, however, say that Pastor Prince, a few weeks ago on one of the programs that he was on, made a comment about sonship. Mm-hmm. We are all sons of God. Well, you are. Now, his understanding of sonship, he even talked about maturity. He used some of the same translations that needed to be adjusted because maturing is different in the realm of the spirit than it is in the flesh. When you're in the flesh and you grow up, you mature, you begin to walk, you begin to talk, you begin to do. And of course, if by the time that you're 15, you go to mama and you say, please tie my shoe, if she's like my mother, she would have given me an adjustment.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay, unless I was sick. If I was sick, she'd get on her fours and would tie my shoe for me. I believe the same thing is happening in the body of Christ today. God is not always tying up our shoes, even though we would like to have him tie our shoe. He's trying to get us to mature. And the decisions we make will show whether we are maturing or rather going back to our religious traditions. He was teaching about Elisha and Elijah. Elijah was a loner. He did mighty, mighty things. And of course, whenever I hear the word Elijah, it relates to me because I did not like my name. My first name is Camille. My second name is Elijah. In French, it's Elie. That was named after my uncle, who was a Roman Catholic priest. I probably saw him once or twice in my whole life. I do not remember it because I was very young.
How did you get Kimberly?
It's Kim. The reason I ended up with Kim is because Kim Il-sung was the president of Korea when I was a teenager, North Korea. And Camille and Kim, Camille, and I ended up with the nickname. And it was easier to pronounce and less teasing.
I agree.
And I also had a young lady that was a part of my life at that time. And we hit it off for a little while until I moved out of her mind.
But
it's not
Kim.
A bad thing.
She called you Kim.
So anyway, God knows the things that he's prepared for each of us. And I believe what he's trying to tell us is if you look at the story of Elisha and Elisha, and both of them had one thing in common. They both took a son that they had prophesied would happen to a woman, and both of those sons died, and in each case, the prophet of the Lord was the instrument that was bringing back that son to life and gave it back to its mother. Now hold on to your seat. He said loud and clear, this is a picture. I can feel the anointing, so I know I'm on target. This is a picture of the woman that has lost her son. Her name is the church. And it will be the prophet that comes back to life and then brings the prophetic word that the Son and the sons of God will rise within the church that have been hidden because they've been considered dead. But the prophet will be used to prophesy that the Son has never really been dead. He's been sleeping. And the church will find the Son again, alive and well. And he, within the church, when she is given back to the mother, which is the sonship message, will bring life to the entire body of Christ. Because that's when she'll be able to do the work that was designed for her to do. If you can visualize, I call them the sleeping giants or the frozen chosen. Whatever title you want to give them, they're religious. They love God, but they have no clue about the Son. They just don't know him. They may know him as the one in the arms of the Blessed Mother. And that's not just in the Roman Church. That's in many churches. When I went to St. George's at the holidays, I was so conscious of, again, the rituals. You know, and I'm not against ritual, don't get me wrong. What I am saying is that he was saying loud and clear, look at Elisha and Elijah. Elijah comes first, Elisha comes second. Elijah has a message. It is, wait a minute, there's going to be no rain for 3.5 years. He speaks to kings. That's men and women of authority. He speaks to kings and he gives them instruction. That type of prophet has not been around in the earth for many years. Do I get an amen? That doesn't mean he won't come up. Because God will make that man come up. Man or woman. But to awaken the church, you're going to have signs and wonders. And signs and wonders will bring persecution and jealousy. The pattern does not change. When Jesus was in the earth as a full, mature son of the God that he was serving, his Father, every time there were signs and wonders and miracles, there was always somebody with an attitude. He's going to make us lose our what? He's going to make us lose our position. Yes. Okay. So, what I believe that God wants us to be aware of is you and I are being trained in the prophetic, to obey and give out the word that God gives us to the best of our ability. Some people are pressed to go lay hands when it's not feeling like a good idea. But healing manifests. Right, Mary? Why? Because it's his idea, not yours, not mine. Gail, last Sunday, I believe I gave you a job. Because the Lord told me to walk away. You had a word of knowledge. And it thrilled the recipient, and it bubbled over inside of you, and it was awesome to watch. Linda, sometimes you outdo what you have done in the past, and you just bubble up in a different way and awaken things in all of us that you have no clue about. And we don't give glory to you, but we give glory to him.
Amen.
But we appreciate you.
Amen.
And your obedience. This one, playing her tambourine on Sunday, had a new freedom. And that was exciting. Walking around, doing what God told her to do. I'm just going to say, thank you. Behind you is one that took a real bold step and had some hair removed. And did what the Holy Spirit told her to do. And then Sunday, she was going around with the hostess like, you know,
the hostess.
Yeah. And blessing everybody. And the twins here, you know what I'm talking about. Want to talk about the twins? We just know that they're twins.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
But we are grateful for your obedience. If you think for one moment that what I'm watching in the house of prayer isn't a miracle in action, you've got news coming. It is a miracle in action. Watching you and the other saints grow in maturity, watching the miracles that have happened over and over, watching the way the Holy Spirit orchestrated what he wanted rather than what I would have thought. You know, I mean, I had bright ideas too. So much for bright ideas. They don't work. Or they usually backfire and we have to repent and change our minds. But I think out of all of what I'm saying to you is I want you to hold in your heart those that you know that are in the traditions of men. Those that are in the religious realm because they have a love for God. St. Paul says, I wish above all things that I could actually awaken my brothers. He's not talking about just brothers. He's talking about brothers and sisters. But he wished he could get through to them because, you know, they were so stuck. And if it wasn't for God's grace, I would still be stuck. And now, even though Judy's left to go home, this afternoon she came a little early and she was having some challenges and we talked about it a little bit. And later on, around 7:15, I was pressed to go and sit next to her and we began to speak. We used to have a prayer meeting in St. Anne's. And we had healing services once a month. And I happened to share some of that with her because our background is the same. And I happened to mention that we had a pastor that came from Bonnesville. And he would say Mass for us because we were still in our traditions. But we did have healing services, and we had anointing with oil, and we had speaking in tongues, and we had the Holy Ghost, and Holy Ghost seminars. And come to find out, I happen to say that this pastor that we really enjoyed, who actually took the Holy Spirit seminar with us, and we prayed for him to receive the tongues, and when the anointing hit him, he literally left the building. He just couldn't handle the anointing. He was so overwhelmed, and we didn't see him for several weeks. He ended up pastoring my cousin Judy. So we had something in common that we never knew we had connections to, because she ran into some trouble, and Father Mark is the one that picked her up and brought her back to life. And we found that out today. He was part of our prayer group in the early 80s. And he ended up being transferred to Westfield. And she was in a different church, but ended up where he was pastoring. And he picked her up off the ground, scraped her up. And her son got to know a little bit about the Lord through this man. You see, if you start putting things into religious connections, and you see this one is the Antichrist and that one is the Antichrist, I would suggest you throw that all into a bucket and throw it away. Don't judge. Don't criticize. Don't find fault. Because you see, the very one that was the best at criticizing, St. Paul, by name, the best of the religious folks of that day, got flipped over like a pancake by the one who said, "Why are you persecuting me?" Do I get a tiny amen?
Amen.
I don't want to be one that's going to persecute anybody in authority in any church. That means all of them. We need to respect, we need to acknowledge, and we need to know in our hearts that God is more than able to flip another person like Paul, one that will be respected like Paul, one that might get put in jail like Paul. I'm not saying that, you know, we understand the fullness of the next level, but I do believe that out of that test that God provides for each of us, we have learned that even if the jail cells are without the bars in the literal, that we can break free through praise and glory. We can rejoice in the midst of our tests, and even after many years of hurt and pain, that God can free us and set us into a new path. To become mature in Him, to allow His Holy Spirit to give us a good, big, strong kick where it hurts. To get us off our blessed assurance. Amen?
Amen.
And think that we are so perfect that we can criticize someone else. What a mistake we made. Matthew 7 says, if you judge and condemn, you will what? You will be judged and condemned. Romans chapter 2 says the very same thing. Verses 1. If you judge and criticize, it identifies your own sin. If you read it in the Amplified, you'll probably pull your hair out because you see, oh my God, the very thing I'm accusing someone else of is what I am guilty of myself. And if I can't humble myself and say I'm guilty, Holy Spirit, help me. I don't want to judge anybody, including me. God, I'm preaching, aren't I?
If you complain, you remain. And if you praise, you'll get raised.
I like it. Right. Try it again. If you complain, you remain.
If you praise, you'll get raised.
And it all depends on attitude.
I heard that.
Amen. It depends on attitude. Your attitude will determine your altitude.
Okay.
So would you do me a favor? Would you lift your hands to Him with me? Say, Father, tonight.
Father, tonight.
I need a brain adjustment.
I need a brain adjustment.
I need the mind of Christ.
I need the mind of Christ.
I need to respond with His reactions. When I see religious folks, and they're proud to be religious. I can celebrate with them. And I can say, yes.
Let
God have His way with you. Believing they are right. When God gives me a word to awaken them,
I will obey.
If it's just the hug of love, so shall it be,
so shall it be.
Because love never fails.
Because love never fails.
If I keep thanking the Lord for the way they are,
I
I keep thanking the Lord that takes me out of the control room.
And the Holy Ghost can go to work. He can do a better job than me. He's sneaky. He'll visit when they're sleeping. So I'm going to thank the Lord. And praise the Lord. Because he's in the control room when I move out of it. I give you praise, Lord.
I thank you
for all those that are religious. They'll discover the sun. And the great church that is sleeping will come to life when she receives the sun again.
The son born of Mary. The same is happening again. God will use. Maybe the natural church. To bring to life. A new son. And it will be prophesied. By God's chosen vessels. But they will come alive.
We prophesy life. And sonship. To the sleeping church. In Jesus' name. And don't forget to keep us awake, Lord.
Don't forget to keep us awake.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.